Christian Medical and Dental Associations hope you enjoy today's chapel message.
Good morning. I'm Dr. Sherry Falkenheimer. Some of you who are new don't really know me very well, but I work remotely from near Albany, New York. And I want to talk to you today about this topic, trust and obey. One of my favorite Christian hymns is Trust and Obey, and it has a lot of verses, but here are some excerpts that particularly apply to my talk today. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. We never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor he shows, for the joy he bestows, are for them who will trust and obey. Then the fellowship sweet we will sit at his feet or will walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. If there's time, I hope we can sing this at the end, but I wanted to at least bring it to mind because I know a lot of churches use more modern music and not everyone may still know this hymn. But I think it is a great example of what I hope to share with you today. I want to give you some examples from my life and challenge you to make it your practice to trust and walk with the Lord if you don't already. Well, what is trust? The dictionary says it's to believe in the reliability, truth, ability, or strength of something or someone. Who does the Bible say we are to trust? It tells us that Jesus didn't trust any human because he knew what was in people. We're all fallible. We aren't always trustworthy, although we don't want to be always suspicious of people. But it's the Lord God we are to trust. You're probably familiar with this verse and maybe even memorized it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all things, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Do you believe it? Are you living it? Well, who are we to trust? Is this a God we can trust? We know he's Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Yahweh is his name. He created and sustains the entire cosmos. Scientists tell us there are billions of galaxies with billions of stars. A person who would be able to create and sustain all that would be amazingly powerful and creative. He also sustains things. It says in all things, the universe holds together through him. Scientists also don't know what makes up most of the universe. They like to call it dark matter, but they can't figure out what it is. And I wouldn't be surprised if it is God's power that they won't be able to find that's sustaining everything, as the Bible teaches us. But certainly, he has great power and creativity. He's the God of the Bible, who called Abraham, who freed the people of Israel out of Egypt and made them a people who he gave a promised land, where they're back in the land even today. And we see all the tragedy going on there, unfortunately. But God kept his promises to Israel. You can see many times throughout the scriptures, miracles, both in the Old and New Testaments. So he's a God who controls nature, who keeps his promises, and has made many promises to us who follow him. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's stronger than Putin, than the American president, than the Indian and Chinese leaders. He's over all kings. We also see examples of that in scripture when he humbled Nebuchadnezzar, for example. He's the Lion of Judah, speaking of his power. He's a wonderful counselor who can guide us into the truth and help us throughout life. He's our provider. There's nothing we have that doesn't come from him. And of course, to us, probably most importantly, he's the savior of the world and us. Can you trust a God like that? No wonder we're told not to lean on our own understanding, which is so limited. And if we trust him, what do? We obey. We all know what obey means. but we often don't like it. We like to be in control and resist obeying others. Think of your childhood and trying to learn to obey your parents, how hard it was. Think of all the ways you struggle in obeying the commandments and the teachings in the Bible. We know throughout human history that people didn't obey. The entire Old Testament shows us that, and disobedience even led God to wipe out all people in the world by a flood, except for Noah and a small group to reestablish Israel. And we certainly see it today. It may be a wonderful experience, but it may also be hard and go against what our nature desires. And I think one thing I really want to reinforce, is that it's a choice. You can choose to obey or not. God won't force you, but he wants us to. It honors him. He has a better plan than we do. He's perfect, and he will guide us and use us to help extend his kingdom. But we can't do it in our own power. Even Jesus said he could only do what the Father empowered him to do, and we need the power of the Holy Spirit to do it. Well, of course, it's easy when we want it. Let me give you a few examples from my life. Since I was a child, I wanted to fly, be a doctor, and be in the Air Force. I wanted to fly, but I couldn't afford it. God provided a flight scholarship. I wanted to be a doctor and was accepted into medical school, but no one in my family had even gone to college, and it was very difficult, but God got me through with his help. I wanted to be in the Air Force, and God provided a full scholarship to medical school, and after college graduation, I was commissioned a lieutenant in the Air Force. So these are things I wanted that God gave me very graciously that I didn't necessarily deserve, but he is a gracious God, and he puts the desires in our heart and then will give them to us. But it's hard when it's something we don't want. Let me give you a few examples. I wanted to be an Air Force pilot, but they didn't take women into pilot training till I was halfway through medical school. I hated my chosen residency, but I couldn't just quit. I had a commitment to fulfill for the scholarship training I had, so I had to stay in the Air Force and find another option. I found myself the only doctor on an island in a remote part of the Aleutians, the islands off western Alaska, and it would take over 3 hours for rescue to get there if we had an emergency. And there were plane crashes not long before I got there, which killed 6 people and had 6 seriously injured people, and one not too long after I left. So it was a scary time to be alone after just a year of internship. I flew to Kazakhstan alone. At one point, I was supposed to teach in Kyrgyzstan, but when I landed, I couldn't find the bus that was supposed to take me to Kyrgyzstan since you couldn't fly there directly. I didn't know what to do. It was around midnight. I talked to different people at the airport as best I could with the limited Russian I remembered from college. I prayed for God to help me. I knew a lot of people were praying for me. And I was able to use sign language to talk to 2 taxi drivers who offered to drive me in place of the bus. Of course, it was about a 4-hour trip over the plains of Central Asia in the dark through numerous checkpoints in the middle of the night. And those 2 people could have done anything to me, but God provided that they did get me there safely, although we can't always count on that. And I'm sure we all know people that had hard times that didn't end with a happy ending, at least in the world's sense. I also never saw myself as a commander. I kind of like to be a staff officer or second or below in leadership, but my leaders were twisting my arm to be a commander of a squadron. I didn't want to do it. I even spent a couple days struggling because I had accepted another job and really wanted to do that. But I felt, if I don't obey, what will I do? My life was centered around God and following him. And if I stepped out of his will, even worse things might happen. So even though I was kind of reluctant, I can remember even saying to God, okay, I'll do it. But, you know, I'm probably going to be a failure, but I'll do it. But he honored that and got me through. So it can be a hard thing to do. But stepping out of his will, we have no guidance from him, no assurance he'll lead and direct us, care for us when we're in sin or disobedient. So it's a hard thing to do sometimes, but it's something we just have to do by our will and through the power of the Holy Spirit. And it can be scary. You know, when I was in college, I went to the Urbana Student Conference and committed to a long-term missions abroad, at least to explore it. But I had no idea where God wanted me. What part of the world? What would I be doing? Would I be in community health, in clinical medicine, administration? But I made that commitment and I've followed it throughout my career in different ways. Fortunately, God's kept me on that track. And I think you know I have a passion for missions. I felt called to go on an MEI trip to Iraq during the war. And I was kind of uncertain. I remember boarding the plane, the final plane that would take me into the country, and saying, "This is crazy. What am I doing flying into a war zone just to do some teaching?" But God enabled me to do it and obey him. And I risked taking jobs that seemed beyond my expertise and control, not only command, but amazing opportunities opened up, which were scary, seemed beyond me, but I thought God wanted me to do. When I was teaching, I got a call from the Air Force Surgeon General's office from a general who asked me to come there and become a medical planner. I'd never been a medical planner. I didn't know much about it. I knew a senior officer in my career field had done it and done it poorly and ended up having to leave. But I took a risk and went. And it was an amazing experience. During Operation Desert Storm, Desert Shield, I was the physician for the Air Force Operations Center at the Pentagon, in briefings with the Air Force Chief of Staff, doing amazing things for which I really had to rely on God. I'd go and pray briefly before each event and ask him to give me wisdom and strength. And I also, after that assignment, I was called by the Office of the Assistant Secretary of Defense for Health Affairs and asked to come there and be a medical planner there. And I was scared when I met the Assistant Secretary. He was kind. I took the position and ended up being there during the Bosnian Wars, going to their operations center, giving talks to senior Defense Department leaders, tracking things. Just an amazing experience working with different parts of the government, the National Security Council, the Department of Health and Human Services, the International Organization for Migration. So even though it was quite a risk, I was willing to do it. So can we trust and obey in these types of situations? What can we expect from God? One of my favorite poems, I think, describes well what we can expect. It's called What God Has Promised. God has not promised skies always blue, flower-strewn pathways all our lives through. God has not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. God has not promised we shall not know toil and temptation, trouble and woe. He has not told us we shall not bear many a burden, many a care. But God has promised strength for the day, rest for the laborer, light for the way, grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing sympathy, unfailing love. We can trust him in all things. Well, you might say, is it worth it? Does God really give us the desires of our hearts? Of course, I believe he puts the desires in us so he can fulfill them. But I'm old enough to know and be able to look back and see how he has given me the desires of my heart. Many of you may be too young to have a lot of those kinds of experiences. But here are a few from my life. Even though I didn't become an Air Force pilot, as I wanted to. I became a flight surgeon, or the medical care for an F-15 fighter squadron when they were brand new, and flew in the two-seaters when women pilots couldn't. So even if I had been an Air Force pilot, I would have never been able to fly in a fighter at that period of time. Of course, that's changed. God got me through medical school and residency, which I found very difficult. I was often praying with my prayer partner or on my knees or crying, asking for God's help, but he got me through. And being a commander led to my dream job. I didn't want to be one, but toward the end of my career, I was asked to interview to be the associate residency director in aerospace medicine at the U.S. Air Force School of Aerospace Medicine. I always wanted to teach full time and be there. And when the commander finished talking to me, he said, "You know, we would have never interviewed you for this position if you hadn't been a commander at base level recently." Wow. It was a really tough 2 years. I was very stressed. I had to work out 45 minutes or more every night just to be able to relax and trust God throughout the 14-hour days, 6 days a week. It was a tough couple of years. I had a couple medical problems and surgeries in that time, even was treated for cancer. But God got me through, and I got my dream job. So I retired from the Air Force with a pension after 27 years. At the 10-year point when I could get out, I went to a medical missions conference thinking God was going to call me into missions, long-term missions. But not a single missionary there advised me to get out of the Air Force if I could have a pension in 10 years. So I stayed, and God seemed to be leading me that way because I had asked for guidance from the conference. And it's because I have that pension and my Air Force experience that I was well prepared for my role in MEI. I had experience at a lot of levels of leadership in a lot of different situations. I had traveled to and taught in a lot of different countries. I enjoyed intercultural relationships. I was even formally trained in cross-cultural things by the Air Force. And so taking on MEI, loving to teach, having leadership experience, loving to travel, was well prepared, even through all those hard times. But without those hard times, I wouldn't have had that preparation. You've probably heard that God is now sending me into long-term missions with the people group I served on my first mission trip. Wow, what an amazing thing. I thought I'd be there many years ago. I'm 72. When I committed to this, I found out that in most of the countries in that area, expatriates aren't allowed to have jobs if they're over 59. But if God wants me there, he'll find a way. There are exceptions, especially if you have some skill. Maybe I have some unique skill that they want. Or I can be an Arabic student, or only the Lord knows. But I look to him to guide me as I explore these opportunities. So to summarize, I like this quote of Elizabeth Elliot very much. And she had a lot of hard times in her life following the Lord. She spoke at Urbana, the student missions conference I went to when I was in college. And she said her theme was, "The glory of God's will is absolute trust. It's the will to do God's will, and it is joy." You may remember this slide from Dr. Julie's talk in July. She shared about how God brought her back from the very area, region that I hope to go to. And it talks about how God is doing something new. He's often doing something new in our lives. He's already begun. We need to see it. He'll make the pathway in the wilderness and create rivers in the dry wasteland, even when it looks unlikely. After all, Moses didn't really get going in his career until he was 80. And Dr. Jim Smith, who's my mentor, is 88 and still going all over the world. So with God, nothing's impossible. And when God calls us, our response is to obey. This is also a little bit a take on what Julie shared, that God's taking us somewhere now and in the future to accomplish his plan. Not just me, all of us. But this new place will require new habits, a new mindset, and prayer. It may be fun, it may be scary, it may be difficult, but will you trust and obey? Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey, and to help accomplish his plan and spread the kingdom of God to all the people groups on earth. May he greatly bless and use you. Thank you.